good. Well, it truly is a little overwhelming to get to stand where I'm standing. It's a privilege to stand anywhere and proclaim the Word of God and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's at the gas pump. I don't care if it's in a barn lot. I don't care if it's among a million. It don't matter. It's a holy calling that He's called us to. And it is an honor to stand here. And
yes,
you may look around and say, well, my goodness, where's everybody at? I reckon they love their mama more than do the Lord. I don't know. That's a joke. I'm just kidding. It's okay. I'm not looking down on you, although I kind of am. But anyways, go watch them guys up there. They really are. But the places I get to go, understand how I said that, get to go, y'all, we'd be standing room only. What we have here tonight.
That's right.
And it ain't about numbers. You hear me? Ain't about numbers. The Lord, you ain't got to be an X amount of people gathered before God will do something.
Right.
Normally it's just one that gets serious with God and cleans his life or her life.
Right. That is right.
A big fire don't start with a big fire. Starts with a little flame.
Right.
And this morning or this evening, I'm so nervous I don't know even if it's Sunday, but you could be the little flame that starts the fire.
That's right.
You sitting here tonight, someone here could start the fire that makes us a dry county again, that puts God back in our schools, in our county. So, don't be discouraged. Look up.
Yeah.
Look up. Everything is okay.
Yeah. Amen.
The Lord is still on a throne.
Amen.
And he ain't worried about nary a thing.
That is right.
Nothing ever occurred to him.
That is right.
Just be encouraged tonight. And I just thank the preacher for letting me be able to do this. Preacher was talking about going out in churches and preaching. And I could not have done that or do what God allows me to do tonight. Number one, if he hadn't have called me. But number two, if I wouldn't have had some training. If I wouldn't have grew up around the right thing. The right thing, the King James Bible.
Yes, amen.
All others are perversions. Man has perverted the Word of God and corrupted it. But I'm glad that I've had some training and some... And what I mean by that, mostly, example, not sit down, let me tell you how this is done, but consistency over the years of some men that God's put in my life. And I appreciate that. And I'm not going to try to name them, because I'll forget somebody. Y'all just bear with me a little bit, Stephen. I'm full. I'm just... It's just amazing what God will do if you let Him. Not that I've apprehended submission, but I've been around long enough to realize a little bit of... If you get out of the way, God will do something. It don't matter if He used a donkey, a rooster, He'll use us. He'll use us. You're used as much as you want to be.
Amen. Amen.
Here's a quote for you. Eddie White said this. He said, don't ever confuse what you do for God with your relationship with God.
Right.
Busy is not always meaning close.
Amen.
You can be busy and accomplish nothing.
That's
you can look good to men.
That's
but God looks upon the heart.
That's right.
Just, I don't know. God's, y'all just bear with me.
You're fine.
Yeah, you're running away.
I was going to preach on hell tonight, but my mother's not here. You're laughing, but it ain't a joke. Okay, that was a joke. But I appreciate my mother. I do. I mean, she's Becky. Everyone can handle a little Becky. No one can handle a lot. And I love her. And my most memorable, if I said that right, Mother's Day, was going to Powell's Mountain Baptist Church. I got me a good old-fashioned whipping before we went to church that morning. I just gave her the greatest thing she could do, let off a little steam because of me, and I just trying to help her out. Probably should have helped her out some more, but I didn't. You know, God's just good to me. And it's just amazing what he'll use, who he'll use, where he'll use them. I don't really know what style preacher I am. Not done it long enough to know. I don't really care to know. I just want to preach. But some people are known for being camp meeting preachers. Some are serious. Some are repent. Some are, I don't know, but I'll tell you what kind of preacher I want to be. I want to be an old Bible preacher. That's what I want to be, if the Lord tarries. I don't want to be an old apostate. Look, I ain't stepping off this book.
Amen.
I'm not.
That's right.
I'm not going to do it. And it's not worth stepping off unless you want to ruin your life.
Right, that is true. That's
and it's not just you. Every decision has a domino effect.
Yes,
you step away from this book, if the Lord tarries, 20 generations in your family down the road will suffer. Because all they'll know is confusion. All they'll know is not a sturdy foundation. All they'll know is we like this one until, well, we stepped a little further out in sin and we got to get a book to match our life. Because
right.
We ain't changing to match the Bible.
Right.
We'll just write us one that lets us do what we want.
Yeah, that's what they do now,
yeah. I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I'm just going to say what the Lord puts on my heart. I got, and tonight I've not got to preach here for a while, and I've said some, I don't know, silly things out and about y'all don't know about. Because y'all ain't with me. So to bear with me tonight, I was over in Greenbrier County, I don't know, well, this instance a month or so ago, and I got in a big way of just talking about how a man ought to work and he ought to have some calluses on his hands. And I said, if you're a typer, that's what you do for a living, you're a man, you ought to be the best typer there is.
Right.
I said if you lick stamps for a living, you ought to have the best liquor around. And I just, on the outside, I kept going, but on the inside, I said, Are you idiot? Did you just say that? And I ain't answered myself yet, but it, just bear with me. Y'all know I'm kind of crazy and odd. And this evening, it is true. Every one of y'all is sleeping. No one said amen to that. But it is true. Light them up and lick them, son. That's what I'm telling you. Look.
Amen.
The guy putting in the letter should never be waiting on stamps. You ought to have them pre-moist and ready to go. That's what I'm telling you. All right, we got to get moving on here. Thanks, appreciate it. But y'all know I'm kind of odd and off and crazy. And I don't... I don't know how to just give you two something so simple. I'm trying to keep it simple. My little pea brain can't handle anything else. But if you'll bear with me, I just want to bring some things to mind and try to encourage the saved and win the lost tonight and exhort the Lord. That's my goal.
Good.
And I hope to do all three.
Yeah, amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for such an opportunity and such a privilege to be where I'm at. Well, thank you for one day you looked down on little old me. God, you knew what I'd need. Lord, thank you for coming by my way. God, I'm asking tonight, I'm expecting souls to be saved. God, I know it's Sunday night, but I'm not so naive to think that someone here couldn't be lost. God, and I'm not in any way saying I know how to do this. I don't. If any preaching's going to get done, you're going to have to do it. God, I'm just going to stand here and let you do it. I pray I'd say everything that I ought to say and nothing that I shouldn't. God, don't let me get in the flesh tonight. Lord, I just pray that you'd be exalted and people would get help. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen.
Amen.
So I got a little Mark D in me. I'm about half alliterated and I made up a word.
Alright.
This ought to be just right at home. We're going to look at, this is the best I can come up with, the description of salvation. I'm going to describe to you what salvation is. Now, this may be a little odd, but just come on, just go along with me. John 3, starting in verse 15. Number one, if you're keeping notes, it's a whosoever salvation.
Right.
It's a whosoever.
Right.
I heard a preacher say this. If you're Calvinist, he feels bad for you. Because
yeah.
God didn't die for you. Because according to your own doctrine, you've never been lost. He came in to seek and save that which was lost.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, He died for me.
Yeah.
And I believe He died for you.
Amen.
It's a whoever salvation. Verse 15. That, what's the next word?
Whosoever
believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, there it is again, believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts 2:12. And you'll find this account in Acts 2, verse 21. You'll find these same scriptures in Joel 12, verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yeah, amen.
It ain't for some. And the elect, by the way, God knew who would be saved. And let me help you out with that. He's elected all, but all ain't selected Him. Are you understanding?
Yes.
Right.
There's no some certain selected few, the lucky ones.
Right.
He's selected all, but all has not selected Him.
Right.
So if you're part of the elect, that means you've selected Him. And He knows who will and who won't.
Right.
But all are welcome.
Yes.
All are welcome. Romans 10, 12, 13. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon Him. You cut us all, we're all red. We bleed red, we're all the same.
Right.
There ain't no difference, we's all born a sinner.
Right.
And we's all in need of a Savior.
That's right.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's a whosoever salvation.
Yes.
Is everyone understanding that?
Yes.
Are y'all here or are you wanting to get out?
Yeah, no.
Alright, just buckle up. Whosoever will, whosoever may, whosoever can have their sins all washed away. Salvation is available only through the blood of Christ. And all this is possible because of the sacrifice, so that whosoever will could be saved. It's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm glad when I got saved it didn't matter what my name was. He gave me a new one.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it didn't matter how rich or poor I was. He didn't want what I had. He wanted me. I'm glad it didn't matter what color, what race I was. He wanted me. It didn't matter what family I was from. He put me in His family.
Amen.
It didn't matter how He knew that I would hurt Him after He saved me. But He saved me anyways.
Amen.
When He looks at me, He sees as if I have just never sinned, justified, never sinned. He made me, I was dirty, and He made me white as snow.
Amen.
Are you saved tonight? Be a thinking about it. It's a, not only is it a whosoever salvation, it's a whensoever salvation. Now, don't get sideways on me, and before I get into this, I'm not saying you can get saved whenever you want. Preacher, I'll get saved tomorrow. I ain't ready. It's not what I'm meaning. I'm meaning if you're ready, meaning you understand you're being drawn by the Holy Ghost, you're under conviction, you realize you're lost and you're in need of a Savior, you can call on Him right then and there.
Right.
You ain't got to wait on nobody. You ain't got to wait on no man. You ain't got to wait to be at a church.
Right.
You ain't got to wait for anything. You can call on Him right where you're at.
Amen.
So it's a whensoever salvation. I talked to a man this week, Perry Whitlock, brought me a load of stone. And it was muddy and it was raining, and I said, if you think you could pull up on that riprap and tailgate her out, you know, I ain't a truck driver. He said, well, you think I can do that? I said, yeah, I think I can do that, you know, whatever. Just get stoned, let's go. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tailgate it backwards. And I'm thinking, okay. And he did. But the whole time I was praying. And he got back in there and he got dumped and he just looked at me. Cigarette bouncing out of his mouth, he just smiled. He said, you didn't think I could do that, did you? I said, no, but I knew someone that could help you, and I asked my Heavenly Father to help you.
Amen.
And he said, you think He helped me? I said, yeah. He said, do you think He helps me? I said, take your breath of air. I said, He just helped you.
Yes, amen.
I said, everything you do, He helps you.
Yes, amen.
And we got done, and he pulled out, and sitting there talking, and I'm trying to, you know, figure out a way how to break the ice, so to speak. I said, how many wrecks you had over here? Because he's bragging. I drove truck 54 years, and I'm thinking, yeah, you're doing great. And he said, I said, how many wrecks you ever had? And he said, I can't tell you the amount. And he told me a few stories, and I told him, I said, well, you understand that every day you've lived is just another day of grace by the Lord. He said, I understand that. I said, now, sir, you understand that if you die without Christ, to hell you'll go. He said, I understand that. I said, well, do you understand that you're lost? And if you're lost, are you a sinner? He said, yes, I understand. He said, I'm going to hell. He said, but I ask the Lord every night. I pray that prayer every night. I said, well, you ain't got to pray it every night. I said, you get pray it once, you get saved for time and eternity. And he said, well, I asked him, I said, would you like to get saved now? He said, nope. I said, reason being, he said, I got to go. I said, well, that's the thing. You don't have to go to hell. I said, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Right.
And he said, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I can shut up, but that when I'm on judgment day and I watch him throw you in the lake of fire, you're going to be begging me, why didn't you keep on me?
Right.
Why didn't you just keep a talking? Why'd you quit? I said, I don't want you to go to hell. He started the truck and started driving off. And I said, he's coming back. Don't go to hell.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, let me help you out with planting seed. God never said, take the gospel and make it germinate. No man's ever planted a seed and made it germinate.
Right.
Out of the billions and trillions of seeds that's ever been planted, all he said to do was plant. Somebody will come by and water it, and I'll give increase.
Right.
He that winneth souls is wise. Just because you ain't hearing them call out to God don't mean you ain't winning them.
That's right.
Amen.
I'll put it this way. Some of y'all don't know how smart you are. Because sometimes they may go home and get saved.
Right.
We don't know.
Right.
But God didn't say make it germinate. He said plant. You're planters. We're planters.
Right.
Keep a plan.
That's good.
I got sidetracked.
That's good. Yeah, you're helping.
So when I say it's a whensoever salvation, I'm saying he could have called on him right there and then.
Right. Yeah.
He didn't have to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, it's good.
2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Right.
If you're needing saved, you can do her now, because it's a whensoever salvation.
That's good.
2 Samuel 9. Not only is it a whosoever, a whensoever, but it's a wheresoever. It's a wheresoever salvation.
Yes, amen.
Starting in verse 1, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet.
Yeah.
Boy, he's lame, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, he's messed up.
Yeah.
And the king said unto him, where is he? Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar.
Yep.
Then King David sent, the Father sent the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
come and knocked on my door one night. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. You understand, you couldn't get to where the king was. You understand, because of your condition,
yeah.
He came to me. He came to me.
That's right.
When I could not come to where he was. came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. 'Cause when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. It didn't matter where you were at, God will save you. It didn't matter where you was, he saved you if you've been saved. And you say, why are you singing so much? It's what he wants. That's all I know. He laid it on my heart. And I'd rather obey him than entertain you. It don't matter where you're at, he'll save you. Mephibosheth was in Lodibar when the king sent for him. Let me ask you a question. Where was you at? Where was your Lodibar at?
Yeah.
I know where mine was at.
Yes, sir.
And don't get sideways, it was on church pew.
Yeah.
I said it was on a church pew.
Yeah.
That's where I was at 90% of my life. Well, I shouldn't say that, but you know, every time the doors was open, old J Rod was here.
Right.
He's looking good.
Right.
So examine yourself. Lodibar, the prefix lo means simply no. No. And Debar, if that makes any sense to you, the meaning of it is normally thang. Nothing. No thing. Nothing. Before I got saved, I had nothing in my life to account for anything that amounted to anything.
Yeah.
It was nothing but a lost sinner on my way to hell.
Right.
Just the same as you.
Yeah.
But Mephibosheth moved uptown, and he's sitting at the king's table, eating bread continually.
Amen.
Not just eating there as a servant, but as the king's son. So, nothing, in a sense, Lodibar, you could say Mephibosheth was saved out of the town of nothing. And he took up residence in the town of every need supplied. And when I got saved, he supplied every need and has supplied every need. He's always been faithful to me. It's one of my favorite songs. And the good news is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Yeah, amen.
For I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, be not consumed. He didn't say, I was the Lord. He still is. If he's able to save you, if you're able to trust him for the biggest thing, can you not trust him for the little things?
Right. Amen.
Sure.
Good.
It's a wheresoever salvation.
Yeah.
He'll come to where you are. No place is too bad.
Right.
Moving on with the description of salvation, number four. It's a whatsoever salvation. Isaiah 64. Now this one's going to take a little explaining because I'm doing my best not to get out of context of the scripture. So just bear with me. But in Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all as an unclean thing.
Yeah.
And all our righteousness are as filthy rags.
Right.
That is right.
Filthy, stinking rags.
Yeah.
That was all they was.
Right.
It's all I had. John 4. Starting in, I believe, verse 6. This is the story of the woman at the well. And there's a lot of, I believe, misbeliefs about this individual. But we'll see that she was still lost without the Lord, just as we was. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. I remember when I went to the well, of where I always went to go, when I need a little fix, Jesus one day was sitting there waiting on me.
Right.
And he said, give me a drink of this water.
Yeah.
Then he said, I'll give you one if you want it. But you'll never thirst again. And when I say whatsoever salvation, this woman had a water pot. And am I saying this physical water pot was wicked or sinful? No. But I want you to look at it in the spiritual mindset. And don't get me wrong, I understand that we get later, I'm getting ahead of myself, but she left her water pot after she believed, got saved, and went and told others. And I'm not trying to make this pot a symbol of sin in this story, but to us, when I came to God, I had some things in my pot that had to go. And it wasn't I got saved and left my water pot. I'm sure that woman got thirsty. She came back and got her some water in this physical pot. You understand?
Right.
But I'm just saying, when she believed, she left her water pot and went and told others.
Yeah.
Come see a man. Look, that water pot of sin, and I'm trying not to get off here, but when I came to Him, I had some things that didn't leave immediately. You get saved and God sanctifies you. Okay?
Right.
You get saved to get better. You don't get better to get saved.
Right.
Now, am I saying don't repent of your sin? No, repent of your sin. But you don't give up drinking to get saved. You get saved, God will take care of that.
Right.
He'll replace that with so much more.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another one. The other day I was going through Birch River, driving a bus. I drive the route I grew up on when I went to public school. I'm reaping what I sowed. I can still remember Jimmy McCutcheon. I need 50 sentences. I will not spit spitwads on a school bus. I can remember. But a man that used to live with my grandpa, Vaughn Rose, Charlie White's his name. He's the new town drunk, I reckon. Best way to put it. Hired, died, and he took his place. And I'm going down the stretch by Exxon and school bus, and I see him. He staggers up to the white line, looks at me, stops. So I'm just, you know, hammered down all I can. And I get, I don't know, here to them double doors. And here he goes. He walks right out in front of me, taking one step forward, two steps back. This guy is, he's gone.
Yeah.
And I about hit him. It was the grace of God I didn't. And he hits the double yellow line, walks straight down. I'm stopped, turns, hits the other yellow or white line, and just falls face first in the gravel. So I'd move on. And God had, I don't know why I didn't, to my shame, but I hadn't witnessed to Him yet. I'm able to sit at Birch through the day and afternoon for about 40 minutes waiting for my transfer students. But anyways, he sits in a chair in front of Bob Houghton's old TV shop, sits there about every day, sits there and drinks up his monthly check. And I thought about witnessing to him, and I, you know, just dumb. I didn't. But that day when I was coming back from deal, Lord said, today's the day. You're going to witness. Well, He didn't say you're going to do it. God ain't going to make you do anything, but you understand. He laid it on my heart to witness to Charlie. So I parked my bus, and I walked over, and I knew who he was, but I was just trying not to seem like, you know, weird. And I said, if I ain't mistaken, you're Charlie White, ain't you? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, I'm Bon Rose's grandson. He said, Bon Rose's grandson, get over and shake my hand. And we begin to talk, and I said, Charlie, the other day I was driving that school bus, and you walked right out in front of me, and I about killed you. He said, I did. I said, yes, sir. I said, now let me ask a question. If I'd have hit you and killed you, where would you have went? Without missing a beat, he said, I'd have went to hell. And I begin to talk to him, and like many, he's got his beer and he holds it up. He said, this is it. I can't give it up. I love it. I said, well, I understand. I'm not doubting you love it. But if you give that up, get saved, and God will take that from you over time, or right then and there, He'll replace it with so much more. I don't know what you're holding on to tonight. If you're sitting here lost, you don't want to give it up. It's petty to hold on to something that is going to make you, allow you to continue to go to hell and get there one day. Give it up. Now, saved sinner. It don't matter what it is holding you up between you and the Savior. You need to remove that. But here's what I found. If it's up to me to remove it, I'll do this right here. Lord, it's behind me. Done. Well, maybe it is gone. I say it's behind me, it's gone. Then I slip back over and...
Yeah.
What I need to do is say, God, she's yours.
Yeah.
You take it from me, because if it's up to me, I'll put it in storage and drag it back out.
Yeah,
and I've had stuff I've done that way that dust built it up. And I thought, man, got the victory. And before I know it, I've got to get this thing back out. I can't take it no more.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but God does, and He wants it. And He's going to get rid of it.
Right.
Right. And He's not going to not love you in that process.
Right.
Anyways.
Good.
So we kind of skipped over a bunch of this and we're moving on to it's a whatsoever salvation. No matter what you have, just bring it to Him. He'll
Amen.
Save you and take care of it.
Amen.
So whosoever, whensoever, wheresoever, whatsoever, And here's a word I think I made up. A whysoever. But it's a whysoever salvation. What do you mean by that? Why do we even have a salvation available to us? I just want to explain to you the why of the salvation. John 19. The Bible says, not in John 19, I don't believe, but it says, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If you was going to have a sin forgiven, there had to be some bloodshed.
Yeah.
You're understanding. So because of our sin nature from Adam, we had to have a sinless, perfect sacrifice. Us on the cross, I don't believe, would have done it. Now, our punishment in hell would have done it for us, but we could never pay for what we owed. Are you understanding? And everyone, you know, and a lot of people look at the cross, but you understand, I believe the cross was easier than the punishment leading up to Calvary. My personal belief, have no Bible to back that up. But to take the scourging of the Romans, to have your ribs exposed, to be beaten upon recognition, not to say, well, I don't know what man that is. I don't know what that is.
Right.
You understanding?
Yeah.
I would say at that time at the cross, I don't want to sound wrong, but three nails may have been some relief of this is getting close to the end.
Yeah.
You understand? That was hard and that was awful.
Yeah.
But leading up to the piercing of the nails, imagine what our Savior went through.
Right.
John 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. You understand? They beat the hide plumb off of him. The meat down to the bone.
That is right.
Now that was what we deserve. It's what we deserve.
Yes. Right.
They say, and I've said here before, that many died at the Roman whipping post.
Yes.
Many didn't even make it.
Right.
And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They mocked him and said, "You're a king, we'll make you a crown. You can wear it whether you want to or not.
Right.
And we'll put this purple robe on you, and then we're going to so-called worship you."
Yeah.
Just what are you, little piece of flesh left on this earth? You ain't nobody's king. But they's wrong.
Yeah.
And they smote him with their hands.
Yeah.
I mean, really? After all that?
Yeah.
What just warped, twisted people?
Yeah. Right.
Can you imagine, why would they do that? I mean, could you imagine being there watching that?
Yeah.
And then they put that splintery, I'm sure it wasn't plain, piece of wood right on his exposed bones.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? But let me ask you a question, or let me tell you. Yes, it was him physically, but we did that.
Right.
We did that to him.
Amen. That's
right. Yep. Amen. The least we could do is serve him.
Yes, sir.
The least we could do is serve him.
Yeah. That is right.
Verse 18. When they crucified him, they crucified our Savior. After all that, and there was much more, hitting him with the reed, and I mean, I don't have time nor the knowledge really to go into that. But all I can tell you is, he did that for us.
Right.
And you could say, why? Oh, why would they do that? Why? Or why would he do that? Because he loved me, my Savior died.
Right.
On the cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. He done all that just because he loves us. What kind of sense does that make? It don't. But all I know is he loves me and he's made the way.
Yeah, amen.
So you say, why this salvation? Why did it take all that? All because he loves us.
Yeah, amen.
All because he loves you.
Yeah.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jerry, you got one boy. Let's have him. I don't think so. Dale Vance said something here that really just it stuck with me. He said, God did something to His Son on the cross that He promised He'd never do to you. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
Can you imagine that? God forsaken of God.
Yeah.
But He won't do that to us.
No, He won't.
And we've done everything against Him.
Yeah.
Oh, what love it is that the Lord has bestowed upon us. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Yeah.
If you're going to get saved, you're going to have to come by the way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. But He asked, why of this salvation? Because He loves us.
Yeah. Amen.
So whosoever or whensoever, whysoever, whatsoever. Anyways, wheresoever. We're up to number 6. So there's all the reasons, I reckon, but here's something else. It's also a forsoever salvation. Are you understanding? It's for eternity.
Yeah.
It's not just, well, a little bit, you know. It's forever.
Yeah.
1 John 5. Verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Any questions on eternal life?
That's
what I thought. And this life is in His Son.
Yep.
And he that hath Son hath life, and he that hath not Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now listen to this. That ye may hope that ye have, that ye may think, that ye may, I mean, you're just going to bet on it and just hope for the best. No. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. That ye may know. You can know. Take her to the bank house. You can know it. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John 10. Verse 28. These are some verses you ought to hang on to.
Right.
You ought to hang on tight.
Right.
We understand that it's by Jesus, not by works. Many churches, even around here, they say, I went to them and preached, and they tell me, I know we believe the way you believe about getting saved, but we believe that if you or turn your back on God like the prodigal and you die in that state or the rapture happens, you'll go to hell. And I say, explain that to me. All down through Luke 15, let me tell you, He always refers to my Father, my Father, my Father. And the Father always says to my Son, and that's what they say, it was my Son that was once lost, He's now found. Well, He was lost physically. They don't know where He's at geographically. But He was. It never changed the fact that He was a Son.
That's right.
Never changed the fact that He had a Father back at the farm waiting on Him.
That's right.
So, cling to these, you have eternal life, eternal security. And I give unto them contingent life as if they hold up their end of the deal. They don't mess up one time, I'll give it. I give unto them temporary life. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's the same hand that holds the water of the world.
Right.
A hand, palm, singular. That's how big He is. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. 2 Timothy 1:12. And by the way, if you could lose your salvation, we all would. I'm going to say, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, the day you got it. I'm just telling you the truth. I can only speak for me.
You're right.
And you ain't bigger than God. You can't undo what He's done sealed.
Amen.
If you say, well, I'm not saved anymore because I did this, you're saying, well, I'm going to overpower God and undo what He's done wrote down.
Yeah.
You ain't bigger than Him. You can't do, you know. You're saved, just like Brother Paul. Verse 12, Timothy 1:12, or 2 Timothy. Middle of the verse, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Well, you say, Jared, how are you persuaded? Oh, if you only knew. Oh, if you only knew how many times I fell on my face. Say, God, I ain't ever doing that again. I'm sorry, You're worthy, I'm wicked, I ain't ever doing that again. Two more steps, there I go. He didn't say, I'll pick you up, but you're going to get saved again. He said, it's all right, buddy. I forgive you. I just see the blood of Jesus. I just see my Son. Every time I pick you up, look at your face. So I'm telling you, I'm persuaded that He's able to keep it. And He will keep it.
Yeah. Amen.
Lastly, and I'll be done. Thank you for your patience. Appreciate it. We've looked at all them parts of salvation and what it is. Now hear me, this is the most important point of the whole message. It is not, I said it is not, a howsoever salvation.
Right.
Are you understanding me?
Yes,
it ain't just however I'll come to Him, I'll be alright. No, it's not that way. It's not a howsoever salvation. If you've been saved, you were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing else, period.
Right.
That's the end of it.
That's right.
John 14:6. Jesus saith unto them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, sir.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right. You understand, if you got saved, you came by Jesus.
Right.
I got one more and I'll leave you alone. Now listen. One said, friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done? With tears in his eyes, I could hear his reply. Oh, this was true for me. I don't know about you. There are no merits to my name. No works that I could claim. The one who brought me here told me to say that I have come by the way of the cross. And we have come by the way of the cross. It is nothing I have done. It's a suffering of God's Son. We have come by the way of the cross.
Yes.
Look, I don't care what you're dependent on. If it ain't Jesus, it ain't going to work. I don't care how many times you got baptized. It's nothing but chlorine city water back there. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much money you give. Which some of y'all say, well, I can't do bus ministry. Some of you can write checks, okay? I'm throwing that out there. I don't care if you get enough money to buy 100 buses and 1,000 people get saved. You ain't going if you have not called upon the name of the Lord for your need of salvation. It don't matter who your daddy is, who your mama is. If you've not been saved, you ain't going.
Yeah, amen.
You're going down.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Hebrews 1:3. You understand, He don't need our help.
Right.
He don't need you to do some certain thing to make your sins covered or to be saved. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Yeah.
He done it all by Himself. There was no other person that could do it. It had to be by the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're sitting here, 8 years ago, first Sunday of April, I was sitting here a faithful church member when I wasn't working, and I was lost and going to hell. It's a Mother's Day. Think of Ray Flanagan every Mother's Day. Got saved on Mother's Day. It's what he said.
Yeah.
Mommy picked him up many a time on the side of the road.
Yeah.
If you're here tonight and you don't know, I don't care how long you've been here. I don't care how long you say you've been preaching.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
I don't care what you might say, what your circumstance may be. If you've never come to a place in your life when you realize I'm lost without God, and if I died right now, I'd go to hell. And because of that realization, you've never made the decision to ask the Lord to come into your life and save you. If He came back now or you died, to hell you'll go.
Right. Right.
You'll bust her wide open.
Right.
You say, oh, that's a little harsh. Well, it's true. And right. I would rather take a risk of offending you and you get saved.
That's right.
And then keep you happy and you go to hell.
Yeah. Amen.
Look, church, I know I'm hard sometimes put up with, but I do love you. And I care enough to tell you that I'm not convinced just because you come and sit on this pew that you're saved.
Right.
And I'm not meaning because who thinks I never do nothing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, I want you to know that you can know that you can know.
Yes. Right.
That before you leave this property tonight, you're saved on your way to heaven.
Right.
Trista, if you'll come and sing that song. As she's singing, this is invitation. I don't know what problem you got. I don't know what your need is. I don't know what you need from God. But what I do know is He's got the answer down here waiting on you. He's got the help. He's got the remedy. I don't know what it is you need. But I urge you right now to come on and just do business with God. If you need someone to talk to, raise your hand. We'll help you all we can.
Right.
But this is a serious matter, your soul. So, whatever God wants you to do, you do it. Need to come, come.